strength gains with minimal stress to the involved joint. This is ideal for anyone that is unable to tolerate high-intensity workouts, including pre- and post-surgery. PT Associates of Emporia at 12th and Industrial, 620-208-7878.
All the latest sports news and views, actions and reactions, your questions and comments. This is Saturday Morning Sports Talk on KVOE, 1400 AM, 96.9 FM, live and local.
And good Saturday morning. Welcome to Sports Talk, driven by LongbineAuto.com. We have a full house on this Saturday morning. Tim Miller, Dylan Sherwood, will joined also by Emporia High basketball coaches Carolyn Dorsey and Lee Baldwin as we are into week two of the high school basketball midseason tournament stretch. Last week, the Emporia High boys were in Chanute, and this week, the Emporia High girls hosting the Glacier's Edge tournament. Also going on, the Lyon County League basketball tournament wrapping up. Last week, it was the Flint Hills Shootout. So basketball tournaments abound as finally come to a close after today, and then it's back to regular season play. And before we know it, we're going to be talking about sub-state play and postseason opportunities for all these basketball teams, and a lot of them are already maybe got their eyes a little bit on some of those opportunities. But first off, we'll start with Emporia High girls basketball coach Carolyn Dorsey, whose team got a game-winning basket by Lexi DeWitt with 4 seconds to play and defeat Wichita Heights 53-52. And I wasn't there, but listening to the game, it sounded like you were involved in a maybe not completely rock'em sock'em robots, but they were getting physical, and your girls answered the challenge.
It was a physical game. It was physical the whole game. And like I said, when it's physical and they call it, it is what it is. And I thought our girls handled it well late. We talked about the first 5 minutes, man. If we could weather the first 5 minutes because their pressure, we knew, I told them what they were going to do. They're going to climb up into you and they're going to foul you. And that's just how the style is. And I think for those first 5 minutes, we, even though we knew it was coming, we still kind of got on our heels and made some terrible passes and allowed them to get their baskets. You know, someone asked me, what do they run? I said, they don't run anything. I think they try to generate a lot of points off of their turnovers. And early on, that's what hurt us. And all of a sudden, it took a little minute. We got it under control, and we clawed back into it. And then the whole game was just back and forth. And it was a tough one for us, but we closed it out. I know they're tired of the Manhattan story, but, man, we didn't look like that. Manhattan, we gave up. You know, you could tell we kind of pouted. We were sad. I think they learned from it. This was a different team. It wasn't over until that buzzer went off for them, and that's how they got it done.
I always like these midseason tournaments because, excuse me, it gives you a chance to step out of the league, see some different teams, maybe some different styles of play. And I think a game like this can only help you when you get into the postseason.
Absolutely. You know, they had a lot of challenge for us. Again, they are far superior athletically than we are. They're bigger than us, you know, but again, I'm not sure who isn't at this point in time that we take the court against, but they're fast. They had a lot of weapons, and they could really pressure us. And that's a lot to work against. I thought our guards, you know, especially Kermer and Emil, who handled the ball the majority of the game, man, we're going against a full court press in your shorts the whole entire time. That's a lot. And they did a nice job, like I said, handling that. You know, there was tons of learning opportunities. And what I liked there at the end is, man, we gave up that layup. And that was, I was like, oh, I told Lexi, I was like, man, you and I were not friends for about 10 to 15 straight seconds. And then, but that's what learning. She was gassed. You know, she face guarded the entire game. I think we totaled up her minutes. I think she sat for 42 seconds last night. And it's just a kid down the stretch. You know, we probably need to find a break for her a little bit longer. And she knows she gave up that layup. And then, again, for them to tough it out, though, and we drew something up, we got it executed. It wasn't there. They hit the counter. And she made a heck of a play. I mean, that's what you need to see from these kids.
Coach, for a little bit in the first half, when all the points were getting up, it was a combined 64 in the first half, and then the second half became more defensive. Did you feel like you wanted to make it more of a defensive game in the second half?
Yeah, we were pretty disappointed. And, you know, I think that first quarter, man, I think they had 24, and they were, you know, that's a lot. You know, they're on pace for 96 at that point. And that's kind of what I was like, holy cow, it was 24 maybe to 16 in the first quarter. I mean, it was a shootout at that time, and that's not our style. You know, we talked about that. We cannot play that way. We're just, A, we don't have the depth. I mean, we get tired. Again, that's a lot to go against. It's a lot to ask of your body, especially when you're face guarding on the other end. And we wanted to lock up a little bit better, and I think they did. Once we got away from that running match with them, I thought it was a little bit better for us.
And coach, the big thing, you guys were 50% from the free throw line in the first half at 8 of 16, finished the game at 21 of 32, and at one point you were 11 of 12 at the line in the second half and 13 of 16
in the second half,
and you guys were in the, let's see, it had to be maybe midway through the third quarter when you guys got into the bonus.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think we were in it early in the first half. And again, Dylan, I'll address that. It's a foul. You know what I mean? I don't know what else there is to tell people. It's a foul. If you climb up into somebody, if your arm is on the ball handler, it's a foul. That's been written there forever. So we knew we'd have an opportunity to shoot some free throws. And early, we didn't put it away. Again, they were rattled. I think they were still a little bit of shock factor. It was a hectic game, and then the second half they slowed down. They breathed a little bit at the free throw line, and those are things that you have to have. And I do think those hurt. I think they deflate your ego a little bit, and they're points that you're getting while the clock is stopping, which only helps you also. So that was important. We knew we could get into that when we got into the bonus in both halves early. I said, do not leave that end without a basket or a free throw. And I thought they bought into that for the most part. There's a couple of bad possessions in a row. I think we get up six and turn it over, bad shot maybe, and you know that let them back in the game. But for the most part, I thought they did what we asked in terms of getting to the free throw line.
Well, if I recall, in the closing seconds, minute, they had their chance at the free throw line.
Yeah.
They just didn't cash in.
They did. I mean, we fouled them. I mean, we went to work on them, and you're right. You know, those are things that – It's hard for me to. You gotta put those away if you want to win the game. Nobody did that, but the people who shot the ball. So they had opportunity and we capitalized. You know, I think that they had an opportunity to go up four, and again the whole ending is a blur. I think they had an opportunity to go up four. I think they missed. I think we came down. I can't exactly remember how it went, but
I can help you. So the Gantt girl, she made one of two to put you. Put them up three. Kermer hits a shot. Assist goes to Lexi. You guys call timeout. And then it's down to one. And then you fouled the Jackson girl. And that was a one-on-one opportunity. And she missed it. And then Lexi got the rebound on that one.
Okay.
And then you call timeout. And then you set it up. And then Lexi drives it right side to the cup and laid it up.
Exactly what we drew up.
Exactly.
Well,
I love it.
Exactly how I wanted it to go.
Well, I was just impressed with the way your kids were able to overcome some things. You know, you're down eight. You're playing a quality opponent.
Uh-huh.
You're able to weather that storm, and then you make the plays down the stretch.
They did.
Again, it's just a game I think is really going to help your kids.
It is, and those are things. Again, I still say they're young. Again, people probably don't think so anymore, but they're young. You know, again, this is his first varsity experience for a lot of them this year, and a lot of them, but maybe one or two. And man, to Lexi, I told her that was gutsy. I mean, it was gutsy. That was not what we drew up. The counter, the original option wasn't there. I think Bennett threw it to her. Again, it was a good read, and Lexi, man, put her head down and made a play. And that takes guts for kids. And man, she was laughing out. She's like, Coach, I even gave her a little hip bump. You know, like, good for you, Lex. I mean, it's a beautiful take from the top of the key. And I was happy with that because down the stretch, you need kids to step up and make plays, and that's what they did last night.
Well, Addie Kermer has another nice night, 17 points coming off her 29-point effort against Mays. And from an individual standpoint, you always knew she was capable of doing those type of things. But sometimes you, as a player and even in life, sometimes you have to do it.
Yeah.
Before you can really enjoy it and kind of figure out, oh, hey, I'm capable of doing this.
She's getting there. And again, her biggest challenge, and man, she's a scorer. That's her mentality. She's got to understand, and I believe she's understanding, and I think hopefully that's what we're seeing here. She helps us in more ways than that scoring. She gets to the rim well. She guards well. I mean, we always give her a hard time, but she can guard well. She's a bigger guard. She can help us down low at the four sometimes and guard some of those bigger kids. And she boards well. You know, she does a good job. She handles the ball the whole game with Emil. Like, there's other ways she helps us. And for her being young, she wanted to score. And if she wasn't scoring, the game was over. And she's starting to understand, man, I could do 11 or 17 and have 8 and 6, and that's a pretty darn good night from a guard spot. You know, you don't see that a lot. And she got hot again early. She got in foul trouble. I think she had a couple bad turnovers early, I'm not going to lie. And then I think, again, just a little bit of an adjustment. And then all of a sudden, you know, she started to compete. You know, and honestly, her sitting in foul trouble might have helped. She hates sitting next to me. I don't take it personally. I know it's not anything about our personalities. But when I pulled her with two, I mean, she hates sitting over there. And that might be a bigger motivator than anything.
You know, you mentioned that. And I did my pregame yesterday with Coach Craig Doty for the Emporia State game tomorrow, and he showed me we were talking about players and how do you keep them motivated. He put up a video of Bobby Knight. He mm-hmm. said one of the great motivators is Heine on Pine.
Yep,
and
it is,
and that can be the greatest motivator. You know, and then the hind end tells your brain, "Hey, I need to change some things." And that can be a great motivator.
Yeah, she, like I said, it is. It's when we use it quite frequently for a lot of our kids. But they don't like to sit over there. Again, it's a fun environment. I'm not sure why, but they'd rather be on that court, which is great. But again, I think maybe that got her going. I think she kind of, because she came over and I was like, "You got two, but you can't sit long." It's one of those games where you sit a kid with two, and you end up getting down 20, and that kid is worthless at that point in time because you can't claw back into it. So I told her, I said, sit, get your stuff together, and you'll go back here in a minute because we need you out there. And I thought she did a good job of not fouling and playing through it.
Well, you have Topeka Seaman coming up tonight in the championship game, and you're fairly familiar with Topeka Seaman.
Yeah.
This is a basketball team that right now, according to the basketball coaches poll, is ranked number one in 5A. With one loss, even though Bishop Carroll is undefeated in 5A on mm-hmm. on the west side, but still another good challenge for your girls tonight.
Yeah, you know, again, we knew coming in this tournament it was loaded. You know, you have Derby All American, you have another All American, the girl that Brandon was down watching on Thursday, and then our team, you have Seaman. I mean, there's a lot of girls basketball players in that gym, and Seaman's got several of them. You know, the Becker kids, a pain, and not in a bad way. I have a lot of respect for Seaman and the two coaches, and I believe they know that. But the Stahlbomber girls, man, what good athletes. They're great track stars, and they're tough on the court. And, you know, they have the freshman, the Greg girl, I think. Man, she's a heck of a player inside. They're talented. You know, they play hard. They're well coached. They match us, like, spot for spot, except for they're bigger. And it's David Goliath a little bit. You know, I think talent wise we're pretty even, but they've got better size. And you know, for us, we are small, but we got to be a heck of a lot mightier in order to take them down. And it'll be a good game. Like I said, it's always a good game with them. I despise playing them. I was kind of hoping we didn't end up that way, you know, but it is what it is. And man, roll the ball out, and we got a chance. Anytime that ball rolls out on that court, you have a shot. And we're the quote-unquote underdogs, but we're playing some pretty good basketball this week, and it should be a heck of a battle. I do believe that.
That was going to be my next question. Underdog mentality today?
Hey, I don't know, Dylan. We're the underdog in life, would be my guess. I don't know that I don't think we see ourselves any other way. But yeah, I mean, we are technically, look at the rankings, whatever, same record, whatever. But man, they're talented. It's no mistake that they're ranked number one, and we got nothing to lose. You know, our girls want to play we wanted to play for a championship. We got there, and man, to win it back to back years would be pretty dang special for our program. And hopefully we'll fight like tooth and nail to get it done, and we'll see where we end. It'll be a dogfight. Seaman is always a dogfight. It's a low-scoring game usually. And again, a 6 to 8 point win against Seaman is like a 20-point victory. We all know that because of how hard they play. So it'll be tough for sure.
And if anything, the games that you play this week are going to do nothing but help make your team better.
They do. They really are. And like I said, it's good for our kids, like our starters. It's good for our bench. You know, it's good for the kids not getting in. I mean, there's a lot going on over there. You know, Cunningham the other day goes in and hits a shot against Mays. And we threw her in the first half. I think her eyes were wide. I think she's pretty nervous. But, I mean, that's good for her. You know, Zeta's been face guarding with Lexi, and she's doing a heck of a job. Zeta's a great athlete, and she's getting more and more time out there. And Ryan Peake's back, and Ryan's getting more reps out there. And so, and it's been good for our guards. You know, our guards are starting to call things that make sense, and they're getting everybody on the same page. And you're seeing them start to develop. And this is usually the springboard that we talk about. And, man, there was a ton of learning opportunities. And right now they've found ways to get it done. And, I didn't watch the end of the game last night. I couldn't. So I don't even know exactly what happened when we went out to guard them. Hamilton grabbed my hand, and I kind of just put my head down and said, let me know who starts yelling first because I couldn't watch it. You know, we told them what we needed done, and I was like, oh, gosh, I hope they get it executed, and they did. And those are things that we had not gotten done earlier. So it's good to see the improvement there.
And to see the way this team responded after your game at Manhattan,
uh-huh.
and how they took what they learned from that game and carried over to this week, from a coach's standpoint, just has to be they're catching in. They're getting the ideas.
It is. It's funny because one of the parents, a good friend of mine, was like, you got to let the Manhattan game go. Last night I said, nope, I hold grudges. If anybody knows that this ain't going away. So I'm not done with it yet. It'll come up probably this summer at some point in time. But it has been. And again, I kick myself in the butt for that too. And I kick them in the butt too. But man, if we had refocused earlier, we'd be 13-0 right now. And that's even walking out last night, we're like, man, we're 12-1. We should be 13-0. You know, but they've responded. They know. And you can see this last week. We had 8-9 days to prep, and I think it really helped them. And I think it was a wake-up call, and I think it was a humble call, whatever it was that they needed to snap out of it maybe a little bit. Because, again, I told you, they've been winning their whole life, and they've gotten away with playing certain ways that maybe it isn't going to get things done down the stretch. And I think that's helped them quite a bit.
Well, and obviously you want to win them all, but as we all know, sometimes losses – can be helpful if they handle them in the right way.
Correct. Yeah. As much as that pains me, it's true. You either would learn from it or you don't, you know, and we made sure that they did. And again, I told you this week in the gym had been a little bit different mindset, a little bit different focus. And I think you're seeing it. You know, Mays had some really good athletes, by the way. You know, I know basketball wise, maybe they're down a little bit, but that number three was a pain and beautiful. I was talking to their coach. She could play in the MIAA with her body size. And our kids locked up and took it serious, and you didn't see them let up a whole lot on Thursday. Last night, kind of the same thing. That team was probably, again, I don't want to say they were better than us basketball-wise, but they were better than us athletically. And, again, our girls locked in and made sure that they got gritty and got it done. And we got one more chance to try it again. And it's going to be, like I said, this will be the real test.
Well, Coach, congratulations on the wins so far in the Glacier's Edge Tournament. Good luck this afternoon.
Thanks. And, again, I'm just going to shout out our student section's been great. Man, the band is awesome. You know, our band doesn't get a whole lot of love, but they've been with us since the beginning and started that tunnel. And now, again, we're getting more and more people in it. I do want to shout out Glenn Woolard and the band. They've been doing a great job for us at this home tournament. So thank you, guys.
Yeah, and the Lady Spartans in action this afternoon. 2 o'clock is the scheduled tip time championship game. Emporia High and Topeka Seaman. If you're not doing anything this afternoon, head over to Emporia High and cheer on the Lady Spartans as they take on Topeka Seaman. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll visit with Emporia High boys basketball coach Lee Baldwin right after this timeout. This is Saturday Morning Sports Talk. We're driven by LongmineAuto.com.
The new year is here, and at Longbine Auto Plaza, we have some great ways to start your new year in a new Chevrolet car, truck, or SUV. We have over 25 new Chevy models in stock and more headed our way. That means the selection is the best we've had in months, and we have special New Year's offers, like 2.99% APR up to 60 months or $1,500 cash allowance on remaining 2022 Silverado 1500 trucks, or get 2.99% APR up to 60 months or $1,000 cash allowance on a 2023 Equinox, or get an economical 2022 Chevy Trax and get 4.99% APR up to 72 months. And don't forget, we are looking for great used cars for our inventory. So we're willing to buy your vehicle or give you our highest trade offer. You'll get the same great customer service we provided for three generations too. It's our commitment to you at Longbine Auto Plaza in Emporia, or visit us online at longbineauto.com. Chevy, find new roads.
Are you looking to start or expand a business in the area? Do you want to invest in property development? Do you want to help build or grow events that draw people to our area? Are you someone that wants to volunteer to make the region better? If you answered yes to any of these questions, Emporia Main Street is the organization for you. Visit Emporia Main Street at 727 Commercial Street or visit us online at emporiamainstreet.com. Your path to a better community starts at Emporia Main Street.
I'm Ryan Radke with This Week in the NCAA on Westwood One. University of Detroit Mercy student-athlete Antoine Davis is now the second all-time leading scorer in Division I men's basketball history. During his team's win last week over IUPUI, he passed Freeman Williams' total of 3,249 career points for the number two spot. He now only trails Pistol Pete Maravich, who finished his career with 3,667 points, a record that has stood since 1970. Earlier this month, Davis also set the D1 record for most three-pointers made in a career. He already holds the record for most three-pointers made in a freshman season and consecutive games scoring in double figures.
Those numbers are surreal at the end of the day, and just I probably won't feel this till after my college career is over or probably later on down the line, but that's a lot of points and a lot of threes made.
It was also a record-breaking week in track and field. That's next on This Week in the NCAA.
I had a nighttime routine for my frequent heartburn. I would drink milk, I would sleep upright with more pillows, but that painful burning stayed. So I made Prilosec OTC part of my morning routine. With just one pill each morning, Prilosec OTC prevents excess acid production, blocking heartburn day and night. Now I have a new nighttime routine. I call it sleeping.
One pill a day, 24 hours, zero heartburn. With Prilosec OTC, it's possible while taking Prilosec OTC. Use as directed for 14 days to treat frequent heartburn, not for immediate relief.
Masai Russell from Kentucky set a new NCAA women's record for the 60-meter hurdles last week at the 2023 Red Raider Open. Her time of 7.75 seconds broke the mark set by Grace Stark of Florida last year at the Indoor Track and Field National Championships. Also last week at the Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Invitational, Julian Alfred from Texas broke the NCAA women's record for the 60-meter sprint. Her time of 7.02 seconds bested her own record, which she set at the Indoor Championships last year. That's This Week in the NCAA. I'm Ryan Radke on Westwood One.
Live and local sports news and views. Saturday morning sports talk on 96.9 FM and 1400 AM KVOE.
Welcome back. Saturday morning sports talk driven by LongbineAuto.com as we now welcome in Emporia High boys basketball coach Lee Baldwin, whose team this past week went to Manhattan and picked up a huge win for the Spartans after the tournament down at Chanute last week, the Ralph Miller Classic. And, you know, let's go back to last week, and I know you may not want to remember all that stuff, but
let's move on.
But, you know, much like we were talking with Coach Dorsey, playing the teams that you played and the way you played them, you may not have won the game, but I felt like your ball club did some good things against them and maybe learned some things that will pay off down the stretch for them.
I mean, going back to the Friday game versus Andover Central, I mean, that game was nip and tuck the entire way. It never got more than two possessions in either way after the first quarter. And I know our guys took that loss pretty hard because Andover Central's highly ranked and highly thought of in 5A. And our guys were disappointed because we lost, but they were disappointed because they thought we could have won that game. And for our guys to think that they're capable of beating high-quality teams like that is a really positive sign. And then going into Saturday, you know, the challenge on Saturday is getting your guys up to be ready to play. And we played a team from Parkview that was bigger, more athletic than us across the board. And we fought back against them and lost a gut-wrencher in the end. But I think the most impressive thing about our guys this year was our ability to respond from that. I mean, we had one day of preparation and then got back on an hour-and-a-half bus ride to go play at Manhattan. And I thought we were the better team on Tuesday, so we've learned a lot the last 4 or 5 days.
And coach, you get down 6-0 early, and then you went on a 20-6 run to go up 8. You know, how big was it to respond after they punched you guys in the mouth and scored two huge threes with both Cole Coonrod and Jack Wilson?
I thought going into the game it was going to be a struggle for us to score offensively just with their size and the way they guard. They really shrink the floor and, you know, contain gaps. So for us to get out and get some live ball turnovers to get that lead was really big. When we got out in transition, that's our strength. So in the second quarter when we got that lead, it was because of get down transition.
Coach, I made the same comment too that I did with Coach Dorsey. I've always liked these mid-season tournaments for teams just because, again, you step out of the league for a little while, you get to see some different squads, some different styles of play, and I think that can only be beneficial.
Yes. I mean, going back to Andover Central, we played a team that played a unique style 2-3 zone that wants you to throw the ball into the middle. Well, most teams don't want to do that, and then they just squared us up and said, we're going to play one-on-one versus your, with our 6-9 guy. And if you can score, great. If you can't, then you're going to struggle. Well, we struggled. Then we played Parkview, who was extremely athletic on the perimeter and wanted to pound the ball on the floor, kind of like Junction City. So it was a different, unique style there. And then Manhattan on Tuesday had 6-6, 6-6, 6-5. They brought 6-4 off the bench, so they – you know, really gave us some problems in the paint and just around the basket. So we've seen a mix of different styles and roster types in the last week, most of those being bigger than us, and I think we've done a good job of not using that as an excuse or a reason for not succeeding.
Well, your basketball team is facing some good challenges, and right now you have to like where your ball club's at.
Absolutely. You know, our guys are really excited. Tuesday's win was huge. If you'd seen the guys in the locker room, you know, just the enjoyment that they had and the excitement that they have right now is I was just happy for them. You know, being able to play in late January and February, playing significant games that matter for these guys is a huge step in the right direction. You know, being 10-4 right now and tied for first place in our league, it gives our guys a lot of hope that, you know, not saying we're going to win a league title or we're going to win a sub-state, but we have everything in front of us that's important that we can play for, and that gives our guys a lot of hope and motivation. And at this time of the year, you're either going up or you're going down, and there's really no middle ground. And I think our guys are really excited and encouraged to finish out the season.
And it is a three-way tie at the top with you guys, Washburn, Rural, and Junction City, all with one loss. And Manhattan had one loss in the league entering that game on Tuesday night. So that was a big win for you guys because it determines a lot of different things and shaking things up.
I told our guys in the locker room that's as big of a win as I've been a part of. You know, Manhattan's got some really good wins on their resume. They won at Washburn Rural. They beat McPherson at McPherson by double digits, who at the time was ranked number one in 4A. So they've gotten some really good resume wins, and to beat them at their place was a really special win for our guys.
Well, and credit to them. I mean, you can kind of briefly mention the fact, you know, you're disappointed after a loss to Andover Central. You lose a gut-wrenching game in OT to Parkview, and then you wonder, you know, what's going to be their mentality going into a game against Manhattan. And man, your kids were able to come off the canvas and get a huge win on the road.
Yeah, on the road's even more special. I mean, we came back Sunday night and watched about an hour and a half worth of film on Manhattan and just said, this is our plan. This is what we're going to do. We have to execute this plan. And one thing I've told our guys moving forward is we're going to have a different plan for every game we play. That may be different lineups, different substitution rotations. The way we play the game stylistically is going to change based off who we're playing. When we're playing Manhattan and they went to that 3-2 zone, I wanted to take the air out of the ball and make them come get us so we could have the lead as long as possible. And just junked it up as much as we could and just, you know, tried to milk clock. And that's not the way I like playing, but that's what was required for that game to play. And that's what we're trying to tell our guys is every game moving forward, we're going to run different stuff. We're going to have different guys on the floor based off who we're playing.
Well, it gives everybody a chance to say, hey, here's my chance to be the guy who helps us get the victory.
Absolutely. I mean, if we're playing a team that's going to zone us, we're going to have more shooting on the floor, which means some other guys may not get to play as much. If we're getting up like we did against Parkview and tried to, you know, turn them over and extend our 1-3-1, then some other guys are going to play more. So it's my job to be able to explain to them, this is who we're playing. This is the style we have to play in this game. That means your opportunities are going to go up or maybe a little bit down, but at least they know that going into the game based off of our style of play.
And I'm sure if they understand the reason behind it, they might be a little more accepting. It comes down to the old adage, we over me.
Right. And, you know, we're 14 games into the season, so we have a large sample size statistically of who's doing what. So, you know, it's easy to provide them with data saying this lineup works best or this lineup doesn't work best, or when this guy's on the floor, our assist-to-turnover ratio goes up. So just little examples like that that help, you know, define roles and say this is where your role is moving forward to help us on that specific night.
You know, we move into the month of February next week, which is hard to believe. And you mentioned, I think, like, 6 games left in the regular season. Where do you hope this team gets better?
Yesterday, we spent all of it working on our offense. We've been very vanilla offensively so far this year because we focused a lot on our defense and mixing and matching how we've done different things in our zone. But I told our guys, you know, the Manhattan win was really good, but we can't continue to win games scoring 41 points. And a lot of that was me because we took the air out of the ball. But we're not going to beat 5A good teams scoring in the low 40s. We have to be somewhere in the mid-50s to beat some of the teams we're going to play. So I think for us, just being able to be more multiple offensively and being harder to guard without dribbling a lot is something we're really going to focus on the rest of this week coming up.
And maybe a crazy question to ask since you're 14 games in, but do you feel like these guys pretty well know what their roles are? I mean, do they pretty well know where their contributions lie?
I think so. You know, that's something that we talk about a lot in film out on the floor. When we run specific things, we want certain guys to do certain things based off their skill set. And that's not a knock on them personally. It's just this is who we have. This is what you're good at. This is what you're not. So let's focus on what you can do. And let's put you in position to be successful in that regard.
Let's see. Looking at what you have left, you have Washburn Rural twice. First at their place next Friday. And then you also have Topeka High, which will be at home. You have Hayden, which will be at Hayden. You have Manhattan at home. And then you also have Junction City at Junction City, right?
Yeah.
So they're not an easy stretch.
No, it's not going to be an easy stretch at all. And – you know, not to put a specific number on it, but we need to get to at least 12 wins to get a home game come sub-state time. And that would, if you're getting to 12 and you're, that may not be enough to get a home game, tells you about the quality of 5A West. So we need to get to at least 12 to give ourselves a good opportunity to get a home game come postseason time to be in front of our crowd and, you know, play another meaningful game. So we've got to get, we've got a lot of work to do to give ourselves that opportunity. And Washburn Rural, in my opinion, has the win of the season across the entire state. They've won at Wichita Heights, who is a defending 6A champion, who is ranked number 2 in 6A. So Washburn Rural is really good.
Well, first off, congratulations on the victory over Manhattan. Well-earned victory for your basketball team. And then good luck this next week. Have a good week of practice, and good luck next Friday again at Washburn Rural.
Thank you, guys. Really appreciate it.
That's Lee Baldwin, head boys basketball coach at Emporia High School, joining us here on Saturday Morning Sports Talk. We'll take a break, and we'll be back with more right after this timeout. You're listening to Saturday Morning Sports Talk. We're driven by LongbineAuto.com.
The new year is here, and at Longbine Auto Plaza, we have some great ways to start your new year in a new Chevrolet car, truck, or SUV. We have over 25 new Chevy models in stock and more headed our way. That means the selection is the best we've had in months. And we have special New Year's offers, like 2.99% APR, up to 60 months, or $1,500 cash allowance on remaining 2022 Silverado 1500 trucks. Or get 2.99% APR, up to 60 months, or $1,000 cash allowance on a 2023 Equinox. Or get an economical 2022 Chevy Trax and get 4.99% APR up to 72 months. And don't forget, we are looking for great used cars for our inventory. So we're willing to buy your vehicle or give your highest trade offer. You'll get the same great customer service we provided for 3 generations too. It's our commitment to you at Longbine Auto Plaza in Emporia. Or visit us online at longbineauto.com. Chevy, find new roads.
Are you looking to start or expand a business in the area? Do you want to invest in property development? Do you want to help build or grow events that draw people to our area? Are you someone that wants to volunteer to make the region better?
If you answered yes to any of these questions, Emporia Main Street is the organization for you. Visit Emporia Main Street at 727 Commercial Street or visit us online at emporiamainstreet.com. Your path to a better community starts at Emporia Main Street.
Whether you're buying your first home or moving into a new home, getting your home loan with Emporia State Federal Credit Union is convenient and easy. Emporia State Federal Credit Union understands the Emporia mortgage market and offers flexible programs and down payment options to meet your needs. Plus, members enjoy credit union advantages like low closing costs, fast underwriting, in-branch payments, and local servicing. If you value exceptional personalized customer service for the life of your loan, visit esfcu.com to apply for your mortgage today. Equal housing lender insured by NCUA.
NMLS number 424226.
Live and local sports news and views. Saturday morning sports talk on 96.9 FM and 1400 AM KVOE.
Good Saturday morning. Welcome back to Saturday morning sports talk as we await the appearance of Mitch Holtis, which is just around the corner. Before we bring Mitch in, we do need to take care of some other business. We need to select our Main Street Athletes of the Week. And we'll start off with Emporia High. Dylan, who's your pick for the Emporia High Main Street Athlete of the Week?
I'm going to go to the girls basketball team and go with Addie Kermer, 29 on Thursday night against Mays, had 17 last night. If you calculate both of those, that's 23 points per game. And so Addie Kermer is our Emporia High Main Street Athlete of the Week.
And for our area athlete, we're going to Burlingame and Kaylin Noonan, who in the first round of the Lyon County League basketball tournament had a 38-point night for Burlingame. That's a new school record. And with that, she also goes over the 1,000-point mark for her career. So partially for her effort in the win for Burlingame, Kaylin Noonan of Burlingame with the 38-point school record and also going over the 1,000-point mark for her career. Congratulations, a nice honor. Burlingame will be playing in the third-place game this afternoon. That game will tip off around 3 o'clock. They'll play Madison, followed by the Madison and Burlingame boys playing for third place. And then in the championship games at the Lyon County League Tournament, it'll be Opie versus Lebo in both the boys and the girls. We'll be broadcasting the third place and the championship games on Country 101.7 FM, also video streaming on KVOE TV at KVOE.com. But congratulations to Addie Kermer and to Kaylin Noonan. Kaylin of Burlingame, Addie Kermer of the Emporia High Girls basketball team. They are our Main Street Athletes of the Week. And with that, we say good morning to Mitch Holtis, voice of the Kansas City Chiefs. His appearance is made possible by Emporia State Federal Credit Union. Ask Isabella Lopez or Jared Gurman about the credit union advantage and ease in getting a home mortgage loan from Emporia State Federal Credit Union, NMLS 424226. Good morning, Mitch Holtis.
Good morning. That was well done. You even did it with a high ankle sprain. That was awesome.
Well, if I can
be okay, is Greg okay? Because that was fantastic reading the Emporia State Federal Credit Union ad on a bad ankle.
Well, if Mitch Holtis can play as well as I read that liner, then I think the Chiefs are in pretty good shape. But we see yesterday afternoon that Travis Kelce's listed as questionable. Back issue. What's going on?
Well, it's just, I think it's tightened up on him. He did practice yesterday. It's going to be something we're going to have to monitor. Now, I will tell you, I feel better at 8:52 this morning than I probably did at 4:52 yesterday afternoon. But it will be something we're going to have to monitor. Plus, it's going to be really cold. I don't want to guess. I don't want to prognosticate. And I don't want to alarm anybody, but the fact that it did pop up on there knows that it's an issue. So we'll just monitor it. But and if they've got to, I look for Jody Fortson to be activated today. That doesn't mean that Kelce won't play. That'll be a reaction. You're going to see that go on social media. That was planned all along to get Fortson ready and up this week. It's why Chris LeMons was released earlier this week. And that'll put the team at 53 and give them four tight ends. Now, they could have four tight ends active, but that means you'd be reducing someplace else at a faster guy position, especially for special teams. It gets tricky, and I'm giving you a long answer here, but I would say it's real, or he wouldn't be on there, and it's a little bit tightened up on him, but he practiced and should be okay, but it's something that we'll monitor from now until kickoff.
Mitch, the weather was also going to be a question from my perspective with regard to Patrick Mahomes. I know he's practiced, he's a go, yep. But still, yep. I mean, you're talking about a high ankle sprain. It's going to be colder than crazy. I mean, how much do you think that could potentially affect him, and how does that affect a Chiefs game plan because he may not be as mobile?
The game plan really has not been affected hardly at all, Tim. I'll tell you that. It's all systems are go, and everything's in place with the most vast offense in the National Football League. Now, the practicality is you're right. I mean, we're going to have wind chills in single digits, if not zero. I don't think we're going to go below zero, like the Seattle game. But, yeah, it's not going to be perfect for that. I do think adrenaline starts to take over, even with Travis's back, that there will be some adrenaline going and flowing there. Does it affect, I mean, what part of the game plan could it possibly affect? And I'm just guessing here. I don't know. I don't know if we're going to run sprint options anymore like we did last week when we pitched it back to Kadarius Toney on a college or high school sprint option. But everything's pretty much in place, and I do think adrenaline will go. Now, you're more worried about Cincinnati and their effect on that ankle because that defensive front and their pressure rate and the fact that they make it difficult on you if you've got two healthy ankles. So that all that being said, it's all systems go. The Chiefs have not slowed down at all. Patrick is an amazing human being. I had a good chance with it. We just kind of chopped it up a little bit without talking. It was just private conversation. He's in such a good place mentally and physically and emotionally for this game. He's ready and he's fired up and he's going to give it all he's got.
Well, you know, there's a lot of talk about Mahomes and Burrow and the weapons on the field with these offenses, but I mean, to me, it comes yep. down to the two defenses and which one plays best tomorrow.
Well, and that's, and then you're going up against those offenses. The offenses don't play each other. This isn't going to be a skills competition like the Pro Bowl, and we're running the wide receivers of the Bengals against the wide receivers of the Chiefs in a relay. It's what you do against those defenses. And Cincinnati's defense was the reason I thought they got to the Super Bowl last year, because they really started to emerging in the playoffs, what they did against us in the second half, what they did against Tennessee in the game prior, and then what they, you know, got them into the Super Bowl, but it was they did all they could. They didn't do terrible against the Rams in that game. It was just an avalanche of the Rams' defense against the Bengals' offense. So, yeah, this and the Chiefs' defense, you know, I'm curious of how they'll play. They we can get into all the weeds of this stuff. I mean, Burrow gets rid of the ball in 2.55, second fastest release in the National Football League. He gets rid of the ball fast, lots of bubble screens, slants, underneath throws at 5 to 7 yards. He'll take his shots when he takes his shots, but number one at getting rid of the ball fast in this league right now is Tom Brady. That's statistic. Second is this guy. Third is the guy we had last week, Trevor Lawrence. The reason I say that is you've got to disrupt this offense, something that Buffalo did not do at all last week. And disrupting means pressure. You may not stack him, because they're trying to get rid of the ball faster than they have been, but you can deflect passes, and you can affect the physics of the throws, which I talked about last week. It's the most devastating defensive staff there is that no one talks about, and the Chiefs' defensive front is very good at it, the best I've seen in 29 seasons, even the days of Derek Thomas and Neil Smith. So you've got to affect the physics and timing of the Cincinnati offense if you're not sacking them or stoning them for zero gains.
What about the Cincy offensive line? They're pretty beaten up now coming into this game.
Okay, Tim, thank you for asking. Because, all right, Dylan, pay attention here, bud. And, Greg, you got to jump in on this because I'm glad you brought it up. Can I just talk about the myth that is, Tim? That's the narrative. That's what they put out there. But you'll know the right tackle very well for Cincinnati, Akeem Adeniji,
yep.
who was
yep.
all Big 12 at KU, mm-hmm. right?
Yep.
Tim. He started every playoff game last year, including the Super Bowl. It's not like we went, gosh, are we going to go down to Hartford to a garage sale and and find some offensive linemen, you guys, and then they'll play like the defenders of the Alamo. Stop it. Adeniji's good, and he is very experienced in the playoffs. Okay, let's take the right guard, the other fill-in guy. All right, now we're going to go to Melbourne and go to a garage sale, and let's find another guy. Maybe we'll be brave enough to Davy Crockett. And it's like, well, stop it. It's Max Sharpring. This will be his sixth playoff start. He started with the Houston Texans. Another one exception is the left tackle. This will only be his second start, and he is a younger dude. But Volson's their left guard. He's a rookie. He's a stud. He started all year. And then Karras in the middle is really good. The center, who, oh, I don't know, he's won two Super Bowls and played at another one because he was New England center in the end days of Tom Brady. So we can just stop with the whole, gosh, the offensive line, I bet we can decimate them because they're not very good, and we found them at a garage sale. It's a mess.
That was kind of the story last year, too. But, Mitch, I was about to bring up before Tim brought it up, but how big is it for the Chiefs' defensive front to put the pressure on their offensive line so that the Chiefs can get to Joe Burrow?
Well, let me take it, and both you, and both are, they're great questions. But I think that what the narrative has brought about has been a little bit misleading. But let me take you to another spot which relates to this, and that is, the reason they destroyed Buffalo was the Cincinnati run game. As much as we want to talk about Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins and Hayden Hurst and Tyler Boyd, and we should, and the other guys that are emerging, Tyler Irvin, the guy that's like 16 guy, that like, who's he? He's good. It's the run game. They destroyed Buffalo in the run game, and they ran the ball. Now, it was interesting. I think they surprised Buffalo a little bit, and the conditions might have had something to do with it, with the snow. But no one on first down in the NFL. First down, am I going to run or am I going to throw it? Cincinnati was number one in the league in passing attempts on first down. You'd think we were. We're top five. But we actually run the ball more than these guys do. But when they decided to run it, or when they decide to run it, they can be devastating. Joe Mixon is a stud. And so is Samaje Perine. Both OU guys, Samaje Perine's about 235. He's a load. And then it's not like that Joe Mixon's small. He's 220 pounds. But what they did, if you go back and watch the Buffalo game, they would run play side, double down on the defensive lineman of Buffalo. They would hook the outside in, and they'd get to the linebackers and just clamp onto them. And those are good linebackers. That's Tremaine Edmonds and Matt Milano, and they couldn't get off those blocks. So, Dylan, your question, and even Tim's, I think leads me to the first thing you got to do is that defensive line for the Chiefs have got to defeat blockers. Again, you're not going to stone these guys for zero gains or losses much, but you can't get just run roughshod like Buffalo did, or you have no chance in this game. So the defensive line, first and foremost, even more than pressure on Burrow, it's got to realize they got to get off blocks and stop the run, even if I'm double-teamed. So all those guys for the Chiefs, every one of them, not just Chris Jones, who's been brilliant, as you know, but Derek Nottie and Colin Saunders and Brandon Williams, the Missouri Southern State Lion from Joplin, and then Carlos Dunlap and Karloftis and Frank Clark and all the way down to Mike Dana. You've got to play run first against these guys and defend the run and then do what you can to disrupt the pass.
Mitch, one of the notes I made was rushing attacks for both. You addressed Cincinnati, but Chiefs, I mean, Isaiah Pacheco, 95 yards last week. It's a Chiefs rookie record for the postseason. So both certainly capable of running the football.
Yep. And, again, it's a group for us. I'll add this too, Tim, with kind of like out-of-the-box thinking, is the short passing game to me is also the run game. The 5 to 7 yards to McKinnon or to throw to the backs is like a run. But running the ball is imperative tomorrow night. And our offensive line, one thing I love about these guys, they do have the mentality when their backs are against the wall to say, all right, let's go. When they have the ball and Chad Henne's quarterbacking and they're at the 2-yard line, I'm sure everybody was gulping around the Chiefs Kingdom, the offensive line says, load up the backpacks and put it on our back. We're going to be mules and we're going up the hill, but we're going. So they all kind of looked at each other. I talked to Trey Smith about this. They all kind of looked at each other and said, we have got to raise our game here. Raise it up. Joe Tooney, Creed Humphrey, all of them. And I'm telling you, if it's possible, they've got to think that way for 70 snaps tomorrow night against this really good and underrated Cincinnati defensive front, and the run game has to be there. Again, maybe not a 100-yard rusher, but it's got to be effective. And if Cincinnati drops 8 like they did last year, then just run the ball right at them. Check their nostrils for boogers. Just come right up at them, man, and hit these dudes, and you got to do it all night. Take the fight to them, because I'm going to get to you in a second of why you've got to take the fight to them in the opening second of the game.
And Mitch, kudos to Chad Henne. Now twice in the postseason, he has stepped in and led them on big drives.
A lot of things to think about here. You already know there's three responses when I've been asked that this week. One, you've already heard. That's the offensive line raising it up, man. Go load the sled and put it on my back. Two is the comprehensive nature of this offense and how Andy Reid prepares guys all year long. And three, Chad Henne and his ability to engage and learn and act like he's going to play every week when he doesn't play. Think how hard that is to do. It's sitting in the firehouse for weeks and there's no fires, and then all of a sudden downtown Emporia is burning. Like you've got to react and react in a special way and do it when you haven't really repped that much. I mean, he had two attempts all year in passing, 0-for-2, and he's played 15 years and played in two playoff games. And it just happens to be rescue jobs out of the firehouse against Cleveland in the divisional game in 2020, and then this divisional game to go 98 yards for a touchdown. But it's also a reason, Tim, that to pay attention when we do these reports with Greg during training camp, because it seems like, well, they're not playing yet, I'm really not engaged. Every day in the Chiefs' kingdom with Andy Reid matters so much. And when I do those reports for Greg, it's going to bring up stuff that leads to a spot, and I even mention it sometimes, like you may not see this until November or December, but they were working on it today. And there will be times they'll put Chad Henne in and work on the 2-minute with Mahomes watching. And it's designed to be manifested in a moment just like that. I mean, every day matters. Andy Reid's awesome, but that wasn't just a mistake. That's 12 months of training by this team and by Andy Reid and Chad Henne.
Well, Mitch, bottom line, how do we keep Joe Burrow from going 4-0 against the Chiefs?
Well, and then, can you guys believe the Cincinnati mayor?
I know. I know.
Like, who's that dude?
I don't know.
What? He's giving a mayor's proclamation asking about Joe Burrow's Patrick's daddy like a Twitter?
Oh,
like a tweet?
Gosh.
And then he brings up, I mean, like, dude, what is this guy? Anyway, Eli Apple has done what no human on earth could ever do, and that is get the Bills to cheer for the Chiefs.
Yeah.
I mean, he has the Bills mafia cheering for us. Like, wow, he must really be a jack wagon. And to make fun of DeMar Hamlin? What? It's just, there's a lot of emotion in this game for sure. Let me tell you, Tim, my biggest, I wanted to bring it up, but this would be a sadder analogy because of Steve's wrestling background and his kids being great wrestlers and his grandkids being great wrestlers. And you guys have covered wrestling because that's a good wrestling town and area. Think of the wrestler that loves to get the first period pin. They don't mess around with major decision. They don't want to worry about going three periods. They're going to come right for the, they're going to do a double leg and take you down and try to get you to the mat and slap the mat and see you later. Who's next? That's the Cincinnati Bengals. Listen to these stats. They've outscored their opponents in the first quarter, the last five games, 46-0. Mm. No team has a touchdown in the first quarter on these guys for 12 consecutive games. Moreover, on first possessions for teams all year long against Cincinnati, they've only allowed 22 points in 18 games total in 18 games on the first possession by the opponent. It's by far the best in the NFL. They're going for a first period pin. And look what they did to Buffalo. They had Buffalo down 14-0 before anybody could even think about what's going on. So the intensity here and how to keep Burrow from going 4-0 is you have got to be, and this is hard to do in the NFL, but you have got to be on point every snap, starting with the first snap. The first snap should have the same drama as the last snap. And some teams are unique in that way. You've got to play them that way. We're a little bit that way, but we're not to the level of these guys, that you've got to be on it. Because if you can get a touchdown on your first offensive drive, you're going to make a psychological shot to them that will go right at their confidence. So get ready, boys, because this thing is going to be from the get-go. You can't morph around and go, well, we'll wait and kick it in the third quarter. It'll be too late.
Well, Mitch, we've got another opportunity to make a trip to the Super Bowl. Chiefs have the Bengals, who would love nothing more to make back-to-back trips to the Super Bowl themselves. It's going to be cold, and I'm guessing you're going to be glad that you're up in the press box where it's climate-controlled and nice and warm.
And yeah, but it's also going to be like 15 degrees warmer than when I bang the drum. yes, I will be, and I'll be banging no drums this time. But, I mean, it was minus 10 wind chill that day. And it'll be probably about 5 wind chill this time. I may just lay out, try to get a tan.
Wear shorts, Mitch.
Oh,
I will. Yeah, I think I will. his EHS PE shorts, so I'll wear that. But anyway, yeah, it's gonna be rolling. But let's just take a moment and think about what you just said, Greg, because I know. You guys are Chiefs fans, and Tim is diehard. This is the fifth time we will host this game. It's never happened in the history of the National Football League since 1921, and we're hosting it. Our quarterback's dinged up, but he's still the best quarterback in NFL history in 5 years as a starter. We have Travis Kelce, who now is second on most lists in the postseason, only to Jerry Rice. He no longer is compared to tight ends in the postseason. He's now just compared to Jerry Rice. We're living in a unique, special time. I've been on this show for 25 to 27 years, and I've been on here when we've been 2-14 and awful, and you're gasping for hope and thinking, we'll just hang in there and try to... We're living in such a unique, special time. I don't want anybody listening, or any of us, to take any of this for granted of what we're experiencing here. Win or lose, it's amazing what's happened in the era we're in with Chiefs football, and it's here. They're our guys. This is our Hall of Fame coach, who's now second only to Belichick in postseason wins. They're here. It's not Boston. It's not New York. It's not Los Angeles or Dallas. It's Kansas City and the Chiefs Kingdom, which includes Emporia and Lebo and Williamsburg and Hartford and Burlingame, all of that. Osage City, I got to leave somebody out. Linden. Okay, here we go. But Quantumo, did I leave it a bit out? Yes, Allen, Admire, get all the Northern High Schools. All right, the thing is, it's such a special time. And when you said that, it just clicked into my heart again of like 5 consecutive times of hosting the AFC Championship. It's just crazy the time we're living in. Experience it, love it, attack it, go get them.
Well, thanks, Mitch, for being a part of the show this morning. Have a great call tomorrow, and when we talk to you next week, hopefully we're talking about a trip to the Super Bowl.
That would be glorious. So let's go ahead and do this. And Dylan, I ain't getting off this air until I get it, buddy, and I need the AFC Championship woo-woo.
All right. Well, I have a big basketball game to call today. The top-ranked team in 5A and versus the number 4, the Emporia Lady Spartans, are the underdog today. But I'm going to do it because I need some positive vibes all weekend. Woo, 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 woo,
woo, woo! Tim, that's how you beat Joe Burrow.
That's how you win. There you go.
All right, and Dylan, for the future, you need to tape one of those in case you get a big game like today, and just go, hey man, find that file. It's 6:42:42. Yep, that's the woo woo. Just keep one of the woo woos on tape. All right. And by the way, I don't know who's covering Lyon County League from you guys today, but you might see the Brick, the best ref in Kansas, will be there today, reffing the game. So,
all right, there you go, Greg. Look for him.
Yep.
We'll have to do
that. Keep looking for him. Yep. Right. He'll be in the room eating all the food.
All right. Thanks, Mitch. Mitch Holtis, voice of the Kansas City Chiefs, joining us here on Saturday Morning Sports Talk. Again, Mitch's appearance made possible by Emporia State Federal Credit Union. Ask Isabella Lopez or Jared Gurman about the credit union advantage and ease in getting a home mortgage loan from Emporia State Federal Credit Union, NMLS 424226. Again, coming up today here on KVOE, Emporia High Lady Spartan Basketball, 2 o'clock tip-off as they take on Topeka Seaman, championship game of the Glacier's Edge Tournament. Then this evening, KU Kentucky. That game tips off at 7 o'clock. Our coverage starts at 5:30. On Country 101.7 FM, beginning somewhere around 3 o'clock, it's the third-place girls game from the Lyon County League Basketball Tournament, followed by the boys' third-place game, both those games featuring Madison against Burlingame, and then the championship games with the girls' game set for a tip-off of 6. It's Lebo and Opie, and on the boys' side with a tip-off set for around 7:30, it's Opie and Lebo. As the Opie boys try to become the all-time winningest boys' team in tournament history, and they, with their appearance in this tournament, this is the team that has made the most champion or tied for the most championship game appearances with Reading, with their 20th, and of course the Opie girls making their 42nd. But Lebo would like to spoil the night for Opie tonight, and you can hear those games on Country 101.7 FM. You can also watch them on KVOE TV at KVOE.com. Just quickly before we do let you go, 7th place girls game already underway, Hartford Waverly, followed by the boys 7th place game, Southern Coffee County Meredosine Valley. Then it's the fifth-place games, Meredosine Valley, Southern Coffee County on the girls' side, and on the boys' side, Waverly and Hartford in the fifth-place game before the third place in the championship games. Also going on today, as we speak right now, the Emporia High boys' diving team is competing, and then later on this afternoon, Emporia High boys' swim team will be hosting a meet. That gets underway at noon, and also today, K-State takes on Florida. That game will tip off at 5, but due to our coverage of the Lyon County League Tournament, we will not be broadcasting that game today on Country 101.7 FM. And tomorrow, don't forget, Emporia State at home against Rogers State, 1:30, 3:30 are the game times at Watt Auditorium. Hope to see you there. If not, you can listen on Mix 104.9. And then the Chiefs and the Cincinnati Bengals, AFC Championship game. That's about a 5:40 kickoff. We'll have the game for you on Country 101.7 FM. In between the game, pregame, Chiefs pregame from the Chiefs Network at 4 o'clock, followed by postgame right after the game. And then here on KVOE tomorrow, we'll have the NFC Championship game that has Philadelphia taking on San Francisco. So a lot going on the airways sports-wise here the next 2 days. For Tim Miller, for Dylan Sherwood, for Coach Carolyn Dorsey and Lee Baldwin, and for Mitch Holtis, I'm Greg Ray saying thanks for joining us today. This has been Saturday Morning Sports Talk. We've been driven by LongBineAuto.com.
KVOE, live and local, 1400 AM and 96.9 FM, K245 BQ Emporia.
From ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Outrage and protests in Memphis after the release of body camera video showing the fatal police beating of 29-year-old Tyree Nichols.
Following the video's release, people taking to the streets in Memphis chanting no justice, no peace, and Tyree's name, shutting down the interstate. President Biden watching for the first time with the rest of the nation saying it is yet another painful reminder of the profound fear and trauma, the pain and the exhaustion that black and brown Americans experience every single day.
That's ABC Stephanie Ramos in Memphis, where the 5 former police officers implicated in Nichols' death have all posted bonds and left jail.
The 5 Memphis police officers seen in videos kicking and bludgeoning Tyree Nichols on January 7th were not the only law enforcers present that night. 2 Shelby County Sheriff's deputies also responded to the scene after the beating of the 29-year-old. Sheriff Floyd Bonner has placed both on leave as a probe begins into their action or inaction regarding Tyree Nichols. And 2 paramedics also are being investigated over the 22-minute delay in transporting the bloodied and unconscious Nichols to the hospital. Jim Ryan, ABC News, Memphis.
In the Middle East, 2 people were injured in a shooting in East Jerusalem a day after a shooting outside of a synagogue left 7 dead. ABC's Lama Hassan has more from the foreign desk.
Secretary of State Antony Blinken arrives in the region on Monday for high-level meetings with both Israelis and Palestinians. He'll be in the country during a time of heightened tensions. The question is, what will happen next? Will there be a de-escalation in this latest cycle of violence?
And Second Gentleman Doug Emhoff, the first Jewish spouse of a U.S. president in Eastern Europe, and telling ABC News how he'll push back against declining knowledge regarding the Holocaust.
There's no two sides to anti-Semitism. There's only one side. We must push back against it.
You're listening to ABC News.
Mr. Clean, Mr. Clean.
I hate the struggle of tough, greasy messes on my stovetop. So I just freak, wipe, and I'm done.
When I'm frustrated with stubborn bathtub soap scum, I just freak, wipe, and I'm done.
Mr. Clean Clean Freak delivers an innovative cleaning experience with a powerful deep cleaning mist that starts working on contact to break down tough messes in seconds.
Just freak,
wipe,
done.
For everything your business needs to make this year your year, Staples has you covered.
I need to organize all my papers and files from last year and the year before that.
Staples has you covered.
I need to clear clutter from my office and my home office and my home.
Staples has you covered with everything you need to get organized this year at amazing savings. Right now at Staples, get up to 50% off select file folders, file cabinets, file boxes, and storage bins. Make this year your year at Staples, the working and learning store. Ends 128 in-store only.
There's some unexpected pain at the pump, says ABC's Mona Kosar Abdi.
Once again, gas prices are on the rise, but this time it is coming as a shock to many Americans who are used to paying less during the winter months. The cold weather usually signifies that less people are on the roads and less demand, but the national average has already jumped to $3.51 a gallon, according to AAA.
Friday was the fourth day in the trial of the once-prominent South Carolina attorney Alex Murdaugh. He's charged with murdering his own wife and son in June of 2020.